This is Karen Musgrave, and I'm doing a Quilters SOS Save Our Stories interview with Lisa Ellis. Lisa is in Fairfax, Virginia, and I'm in Naperville, Illinois, so we're conducting this interview over the telephone. Today is March 20th, 2009. It's now 9:23 in the morning. And Lisa, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to do this interview with me.
It's my privilege and honor.
Please tell me about your quilt, Miriam's Dance.
Miriam's Dance is one of my very early quilts. It was the second quilt that I made that, to me, I would characterize as a praise quilt. Pretty new at quilting. I started in 2003. I left the corporate world and I bought a sewing machine. And then in the fall of 2004, I took an art quilt class and started to really explore more artistic expressions in quilt making. And because my faith is really important to me, it was very natural for me to move into wanting to make pieces as an expression of my faith. And so Miriam's Dance was the second piece that I made. And it's very representational of the things that I enjoy in making faith-based quilts. I just love images of people worshiping. And this particular Miriam's Dance is from Exodus, when Miriam, Moses, and Aaron's sister led the Hebrew women in a dance following the miracle of the Red Sea. And that's, you know, it's a very special story of how they were just so joyful about how God had delivered them. I appreciate images of people worshiping God. I also have found over the years that Miriam's Dance sort of stays around. People have found it on my website, and I see people putting it on their blogs, and I saw one time it was exhibited at Mid-Atlantic Quilt Festival, and somebody took a picture of it and shared it with their friends. So there's something about Miriam's Dance that other people relate to as well. Even if they don't know the story of Miriam, just seeing women dancing is just an image that brings people joy. I submitted it to Sacred Threads, and it was in the 2007 show. Sacred Threads was the first juried show that I ever entered, so that also makes Miriam's Dance very special to me. That and just putting myself out there and trying to submit some work, that it was accepted, and so that was great.
What are your plans for this quilt?
You know, Miriam's Dance at this point is, particularly since it's one of my early pieces, sort of stays rolled up in my home. But one of the things that I do is I lecture, and I have a praise quilt lecture that I do. And Miriam's Dance will come with me, and because it's one of my early quilts, I will bring it out and I will talk about sort of my faith journey and how quilt making is a very important part of my call at this point. And so I show Miriam's Dance quite frequently when I give my praise quilt lecture.
How often do you lecture?
I am lecturing now probably once a month. And it's the sort of the word is getting out about this particular talk. I find myself being invited to Bible studies and women's mission groups that get together. I recently gave a talk at a quarterly women's meeting for a church. And so people invite me to come, and I bring all my praise quilts, and I just share my testimony and how really blessed I've been to have this venue of sharing my artwork. And I do have a few pieces that hang in churches, and so I will go borrow those pieces, and you know, I'll share those quilts as well. But Miriam's Dance being one of my first early pieces, you know, people generally, you know, love to see it, and it is so joyful that I get a pretty positive response when I show it.
Tell me a little more about Sacred Threads.
Sacred Threads, what an amazing vision Vicki Pignatelli had when she came up with the desire to put on Sacred Threads. I first learned about it in the fall of 2006. It was the call for entries was out. And, in fact, a good friend of mine, Cindy Souter, brought it to my attention and said, hey, this is a show just for you because of the faith-based quilts that you make. And I had not submitted work. I'd only been quilting for a couple of years. And so I had made Miriam's Dance. I thought, I'm going to go for it. When I read about it, when I went to their website and I read about it being a safe venue for quilts that explore these different categories of, you know, faith, spirituality, joy. It just resonated with me because the quilt making that I've done has been in this area of spirituality, and also I do quilts in the healing quilt area. And so I just felt this immediate connection with this show. And I hadn't submitted work before, so I decided to, you know, to jump in, and I entered a Miriam stance. I also made a quilt especially for Sacred Threads, and it did get accepted. It's called Follow Me. So both of those quilts went to Sacred Threads. When I got the acceptance letters, it was such a big deal for me that I immediately wanted to go see the show. And so Cindy and I went to the show in June of 2007, and I got to meet Vicki Pignatelli at the artist reception, and also her, the co-chair, Wendy Viner. What an inspiring group of people. I mean, I just loved what they had to say. It was wonderful to be there in person, and then, of course, to see the show, see my two quilts, my first juried show, but also just to see all of the quilts there. I just knew that Sacred Threads was where I belonged, that this was just a great venue. When I got back in June, after seeing the show, I wanted to get more involved. I wanted to be a part of the Sacred Threads sort of family and help with this, what I consider a real ministry. And so I contacted Vicki and Wendy and asked them if I could provide any support. I'm an engineer by trade, and I do a lot of website work for people. And so I volunteered my technical services. And almost immediately, they took me up on my offer. And over time, I started to take over more and more of the technical responsibility. So I took over the maintenance of the website. And then we started to have hosting issues and domain issues. And so I eventually took over all of those as well. And over the last couple of years, I've, you know, developed just a very very strong relationship with Vicki and Wendy. And I'm totally inspired by them, and I appreciate the opportunity for me to provide technical support, which relieves them from things that, you know, they're less comfortable with, so that they can really carry on and do the ministry of the show.
Tell me about your interest in quilt making.
It started back in 1995. I was on a Sunday school committee, and the head of the committee was a quilt maker, and we would go to her home for meetings, and I would see all these quilts around her home, and they were just beautiful, and I was totally inspired by them. And so when I had my third child and took a four-month maternity leave, I went to her house, just brought the baby with me, and I went to her house, and she taught me to hand quilt. She taught me all the basics of quilt making, applique and piecing and how to do the hand quilting and all of the language, you know, to understand all of the terms. And over the next few years, because I was working full-time and I had three young children, I really didn't get to do much. But I did make a few things. I mean, I maybe, you know, quilt every couple of years, but everything by hand, because that's all I knew. And so when I retired in 2003, I decided that this was something I really wanted to pursue. So I went out and bought a sewing machine, not knowing really anything about what I needed. I just went to my local shop and I bought a machine. And then I basically, watching Simply Quilts, taught myself to do everything by machine, how to piece and how to machine quilt. And it really got bit by the bug. Over the next year, the first year, I made primarily traditional things, although I immediately wanted to start drafting my own blocks. I never really got into looking at patterns. I pretty much started by seeing a block and drafting it. But then started to see more of the art quilt and wanted to move in that direction, and then took an art quilt class and have really never looked back, have just been bitten by the bug, and now it's really a calling of doing faith-based quilts for institutions, and also working in the healing quilts area, where I've got a number of projects where we're making art quilts for healing institutions, try to provide a more pleasing environment for places where people are healing.
How many hours a week do you quilt?
Probably in my studio about 10, but I'd say that a large part of what I'm doing is related because I do so many websites, you know, the Healing Quilt and Medicine website and the Sacred Threads website, and I built an online registration and juring system for Sacred Threads, that quilt making sort of as an area is a full-time endeavor. For me personally, actually in my studio creating, probably only like 10 hours a week. I'd like it to be more, but I'm very blessed that I have the opportunity to, you know, be in the quilt world and doing related things to, you know, try to help promote the healing quilts and the Sacred Threads tech areas.
Tell me about your creative process.
My creative process is I'm pretty much inspired by God. I will just, you know, something will be kind of on my heart, and all of a sudden I will get this idea. And it becomes something where I've become a bit obsessed, where I have to get the design out, maybe even complete the top, where I can't sort of do anything else. I can't do laundry. I can't, you know, work on websites. I really need to get this idea out. It doesn't happen that often. It's wonderful when it does, you know, when I just get such an inspiration that I have to make this piece. I've had some really kind of amazing experiences. There's one of my quilts, it's called Praise Him. I was coming home from a Bible study, and I suddenly had this amazing need to make a quilt for my church. It just hit me, oh, you should make a quilt for your church. You know, you make all these quilts and you haven't made anything for your own place of worship. And so I, just like other times, you know, I became quite focused and letting other deadlines slip aside, and I started working on this quilt. And the church, we've recently built a new building, and it's in all these very warm colors, you know, terracotta and sort of gold and sage green, and I had put some teal, and I had sort of a crimson red, but I'd made the top, and I was going to quilt words using thread clay. I was going to do words across the top, and I was thinking about thread colors, what would be good thread colors, and I got this very clear voice, you know, you should do blue and purple. Blue and purple, I don't know, I don't think that the quilt, I don't think that would really work, these cold colors against this really warm background. But it was so clear, it needs blue and purple. Well, the next morning in my Bible study, I was reading the story in Exodus about the building of the tabernacle. And the thread color, it says right in Scripture, the thread colors will be red, blue, and purple. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is direct from God, that this quilt needs a reflection of the tabernacle. It needs to be red, blue, and purple. What was also amazing in that same scripture, it talks about the three metals will be, the tabernacle will be, and some of the pieces in the tabernacle will be bronze, silver, and gold. I had chosen all metallic fabrics for this piece. All of the fabrics have gold running throughout them. I had used silver to outline the words, and I put bronze piping all the way around the inner border. I mean, I just was blown away. And then 2 days later, a friend calls me from church and says, hey, you know, how's it going? And I told her the story about I'm working on this quilt for Epiphany, and you won't believe this. You know, I had no idea, and then I'm doing this study, and I'm, you know, making this. She says, a week ago, Jan and I were in the sanctuary praying that you would make a quilt for Epiphany. And here it is a week later, and you're working on it. So that's a lot of my creative process. I will just get these ideas, and it comes fast and furious, and I work on it, and often putting other things aside, and then, you know, and I'll execute it. And then, you know, after that, it may be a while before I get another idea. You know, I'll work on challenge projects or some of my healing quilts that I'm working on. But occasionally I get these sparks where I know it's a gift that I'm intended to make this piece for a purpose. And that's a real blessing when that happens. Those are my best pieces, actually, the ones that come that way. when I know that it's really a gift.
You mentioned your studio. Can you describe it for me?
I am very lucky. I have a very accommodating husband. My studio is our living room. When I started to get this bug and my stash was getting bigger and, you know, I had more books and all the things that we collect. I have a lot of thread because I love doing thread play. I needed more space. I was just bursting out of the little study that we have where the computer is. So this one room in our house, we have this formal living room. You know, in Virginia, we live in a colonial, and it was wasted space. We used this room like twice a year when we would have people over. Mostly when we have people over, we're in our large family room where we have, you know, a nice sectional couch that seats lots of people. Our living room just was never used. And so I have now taken it over. It's wonderful. We got rid of all of the formal living room furniture, and we had cabinets, sort of semi-custom cabinets put in. So now I just have this wonderful space. Great lighting, large design wall, lots of cabinets for all my fabric, really nice sewing table. I have a cutting area that I'm very tall, so it's at my height, so it's really comfortable. I can stand for long periods of time and cut. And then I have an ironing surface as well. So I'm very blessed that I have a large studio that accommodates all of my materials.
What does your family think of your quilt making?
They love it. In fact, they're my greatest fans, and I love getting their ideas. You know, I always have a lot of projects up on my design wall. I tend to work on multiple projects at the same time, and they love to give me their advice. You know, I'll call a family meeting. Okay, everybody, you know, I'm debating this or that, and everybody, you know, loves to give me their thoughts. They also they're very supportive when I travel. You know, if I teach or lecture, or sometimes I'll go to, like I've been to Asilomar a few times, and they're very supportive of that. I mean, they know that it's important for me to fill my well, you know, to get inspiration and to, you know, have the opportunity to learn new things. So they're very supportive, and they love coming to shows. We've had some local shows, and they love coming to that and, you know, seeing my quilting friends. And so it's good. They're very, very supportive.
Do you belong to any art or quilt groups?
I do. I belong to a few. Probably the one that I'm the most active is called Fiber Artists at Loose Ends. And we're a group of art quilters from the Northern Virginia, Maryland, sort of D.C. area. We were all involved in a project called Healing Quilts and Medicine. It was a group of quilters that came together under the direction of Judy House to make art quilts based on the plants and animals used in chemotherapies. And Judy died in the summer of 2005, and we made these quilts for the Walter Reed Army Medical Center. Following her death, one of the gals, Judy Busby, wanted to keep this group together, at least the local quilters, and so she formed a new group, and we are still together today. Our membership has changed maybe a little bit. Not everybody now participated in that first project, but we all share the same love of art quilting, but also for healing quilts. And so we're involved in a number of healing quilt projects. So that's probably the group that I'm the most connected with. I do belong to our local guild, but I've actually never been to a guild meeting. I love the idea, but it's hard with all the commitments that I have to be active in the local guild. I do love to go to the show, and I pay my dues, but I haven't yet found in my schedule to be really active in that. But I'm also a member of SACWA, and I love what SACWA is doing in promoting art quilting in our community and within the art world. So I'm a member. Somewhat active member of SACWA. I did, in fact, through SACWA, I gave a lecture at Houston last year on the topic of healing quilts. So that was a great opportunity through SACWA to try to reach a broader audience in Houston and to talk about the importance of and what we can do as quilters to improve the lives of patients by healing quilt projects.
So tell me a little bit more about healing quilt projects.
You know, healing quilt projects, there's a wide range of things that means to different people. You know, there's making a quilt for somebody who's special to you that's going through a tough time. So, you know, guilds will get together and groups of friends will make a quilt, and that's certainly a healing quilt project. There's projects that are about awareness or fundraising, and I think about Ami Sen's Art Quilt Initiative, you know, where she has the online auction and the Forgetting Piece by Piece exhibit that travels. My slant on healing quilts is a little bit different, and all of these are all related. What I'm working in the area is actually bringing artwork to institutions where patients are healing, to try to bring beauty and art into an environment that tends to be pretty sterile. And so we've got a number of these projects, but we partner with a hospital, and we give these quilts to be hung on the walls so that patients and their families, if they have these long waits where they're waiting for blood work or waiting for a chemotherapy or waiting for results, rather than just looking at, you know, pharmaceutical posters or blank walls, they actually see beautiful artwork. And when they go up and they look at the piece and they read the artist statement, they realize that what they're seeing, this plant, is actually used in a chemotherapy to treat leukemia or to treat prostate cancer or breast cancer. And so they see this beautiful piece and they see this beautiful flower, and then they learn about it. And it just makes their time better, what is already a difficult time. It helps to create a better environment, which we know promotes healing. You know, having a better environment while you're in this situation promotes healing. And so we're working on a number of projects with right now through the University of Michigan and also through the Society for the Arts and Healthcare. And I'm a big believer that art can be, these healing quilt projects are all important, the more personal ones or fundraising and awareness, but also just trying to improve the lives of patients through improving the places where they're healing. It's just a great opportunity as quilt makers to give back in that way.
Very good. So what advice would you offer someone starting out?
As a quilt maker?
Mm-hmm.
That's a great question. I think to find your passion, I think there are so many ways. You know, we can make quilts for our family members, you know, to put a bed on our child, put a quilt on our child's bed, something that's really personal, something that they'll take with them that'll be meaningful. I think to find these projects, like for me, making quilts that are an expression of my faith and then sharing my faith with other people, or in the healing quilts, you know, I so have appreciated the opportunity to try to improve the lives of patients. So I think for quilt makers, it's, you know, where's your passion? You know, why do you want to make a quilt? Is it, you know, whose life do you want to touch? You know, is it your family members? Is it your friends? Is it people that you've never met but you know are suffering? You know, is it to give God thanks, you know, in an expression of worship or praise? I think it's just to really kind of explore what's meaningful to you, and then to incorporate that into quilt making. I have a friend that is just forever making beautiful purses and just various things that she gives away just totally freely. And I just love that she wants to make these. She probably personally can only use so many purses, and yet it's such an expression for her to make these things for people, to make their lives better and to, you know, to bring joy. I think it's just finding what you're passionate about and using the time that you have in your studio to really to explore that and to give back.
What do you think is the biggest challenge confronting quilt makers today?
You know, I think for me and my group of friends, it's hard when we judge one another. I think judge shows you know, where the judges comment. I mean, I had one experience. I had a quilt in a judge show, and the comments were so negative and very discouraging. And I think we have a challenge where, you know, we need to do the things that makes our hearts sing, and not be critical of one another, but to be encouraging of one another. I mean, certainly there are art quilt groups that get together to critique one another, and they do so out of affection for one another to help each other grow. What's hard for me is when I see quilt makers being put down because, you know, their technique wasn't as good, or their style of quilt making doesn't appeal. You know, it's too abstract, it's too traditional, it's too this, it's too that. I think that's a challenge. I mean, I think we need to, you know, find our common ground and find our common passions and work together and be supportive of one another.
So how did you work through the negative comments from the judge?
You know, I basically just had to put it aside and to say, I'm not going to let this discourage me. I will say that I haven't submitted work to that show again. That it, you know, it didn't motivate me to want to participate again. But I had to just move on. And I had to, and I probably did, it was a couple of years ago, but I know I went to my friends and said, okay, this is what this judge said. Is this true? You know, is it overall horrible? And, of course, you know, my friends being my friends, you know, pointed out the positives. I mean, maybe there were some negatives, but they pointed out the positives and gave me encouragement. So I did move on. I mean, I was able to move on. But you have to, you know, you just have to know that, okay, we can all learn, but no, this was a good quilt. It got into the juried show. I mean, it was good enough to get into the juried show. So you just have to put it aside, and you just have to, you know, have faith in yourself that, you know, you can learn, but you can do good things.
Well, and judging is subjective.
Yes.
In my opinion.
Yes, it is. It is. I mean, the comment was, it needs improvement. The question was, what needs improvement? That was like the blank statement on the card, and then she wrote, I think I recall that it was a she, was overall technique. I mean, that's sort of a broad negative, like technique of design, technique of fabric choice, technique of machine quilting, technique of applique, technique of piecing, technique of the binding, technique of the border. I mean, overall technique, what does that mean? That's a pretty broad negative. So, but yeah, I did move on.
That's good. What are your favorite techniques and materials?
You know, I'm very drawn to metallics. I love the glit. I love the texture that that provides. So I do tend to have in my stash a lot of Asian fabrics, Asian-inspired fabrics. Not so much Asian motifs as it tends to be like the blenders that go with some of the Asian motif fabrics. And there's some designers like Lonnie Rossi that I just love her fabrics. I tend to love the textured fabrics. You know, techniques-wise, I tend to do raw edge applique. I do like to work quick. I find when I do have an idea, I like to get it down on into fabric quickly, and so I'm drawn to using raw edge applique. Sometimes with fusible, sometimes with glue. You know, sometimes just machine quilting or machine applique. But I tend to do things raw edge, and I actually love the texture that raw edge provides. So while for some, this is getting back to, you know, how we can work together, you know, there's some that find raw edge applique to be kind of the lazy way to go. I see it as adding texture. I love the way raw edge looks. And so I tend to do a lot of that. I also, because I'm a computer geek, I do a lot of design on the computer. So I will take, in fact, I did a whole series of these last year. I have a Hoffman Challenge piece that's traveling right now that was done this way. So I'll take a traditional pattern. I did a drunkard's path, the way blocks were turned. It's sort of a geometric style of the circles and squares. And I took that, just a line drawing of this pattern, and I went into Photoshop and I worked it. I spherized it as a filter in Photoshop. And it just created this really cool geometric design. And then I printed that and made a pattern for that. And I made a quilt out of that pattern. So I tend to do, technique-wise, I tend to do a lot of stuff, a lot of design work on the computer. I love using Photoshop. I also like to do a lot of digital photography, where, again, I'll take a photograph, and then in Photoshop, I'll completely change it. And then I'll either print that directly on fabric, or I'll make a pattern and recreate it in fabric. So I tend to use the computer a lot and explore ways of doing things, particularly using Photoshop.
What are the aspects of quilt making that you don't enjoy?
Binding. Although lately I've been doing less quilts that way. That's sort of those last steps of the binding, the sleeve, and the label. Those three things. I have a lot of quilts that get that far, and then somehow they never get those last finishing steps. And maybe that's because I'm enthusiastic about the next project, so it's hard to finish those last steps. But, you know, that's about it. I pretty much enjoy all of the other aspects. I love the original design, you know, coming up with designs and sketching it out. I love choosing all the fabrics and laying it out. I love the piecing or the applique. And I enjoy machine quilting. I do a lot of thread play. And I do that usually through the machine quilting process. Rather than using a stabilizer and doing it on the top, I tend to wait and I do all of my thread work and as a part of the quilting. And I love that as well. But I generally love all of the stages up until that last sleeve and label.
Do you think of yourself more as an artist or a quilt maker, or do you even make the distinction?
That's a good question. I guess I call myself an art quilter. I use the word art in the title because I make more art quilts than I would, you know, consider myself making traditional quilts. But I admit that it's hard for me to personally call myself an artist. And I think part of that comes from being more of an engineer and not having ever studied art. I haven't had an art class since, you know, the eighth grade, when it was mandatory in middle school. And I never explored artistic things when I was in high school and college and beyond. So it's an interesting question, because I do use the title art quilter or quilt artist, but I probably do struggle a bit with the title of an artist. I aspire to that. You know, if someday somebody called me an artist, I think I'd be thrilled. But I do aspire to it, to be considered an artist.
How do you want to be remembered?
I want to be remembered as somebody that made a difference. Made a difference in even one person's life. That you know, they found God or they found healing. You know, that there was something going on in their life, and some aspect of what I have done has made a big difference in their life.
Why is quilt making important to you?
Quilt making has really become a calling for me. When I left the corporate world in 2003, I really didn't know what was next for me. I initially saw this as an opportunity to follow this as a hobby. You know, I thought, you know, this friend had taught me to hand quilt, and so for me it was, oh good, now I'm going to have more time. My kids are all in school now. I'm going to have more time to explore this hobby. I had no idea that it was going to become a, you know, full-time calling and a real passion. So quilt making is now my life. I mean, obviously my family, my children, and God, other parts of my life too. But I mean, in terms of what I do, quilt making has become really my identity in terms of what I do. And what a blessing that is, to have had this opportunity, you know, to leave the corporate world and to have this time. But it is, you know, it's now very important to me. I mean, it's just a huge part of my life, and it's very important.
Whose works are you drawn to and why?
Well, Vicky Pignatelli, because of, there's several aspects of her work that I'm drawn to. One is, like, you know, just from an artistic point of view, I love her use of color and the, you know, the free form curves, or her improvisational approach. I think her work is phenomenal. Just, you know, just purely on the art level, her work is phenomenal. But more than that, I love her inspiration, her artist statement. I love how she just expresses her feelings and her faith in her artwork. So it's really, it's a combination of her expression and how that comes out in her artwork that's just amazing to me. So I'm always loving her work. There's a few other artists that have been important to me in terms of me finding some techniques. Robbie Jo Eklow, Katie Pasquini.
Massapust.
Yes. Her work also. I have bought their books, you know, read what they do. And while I've never met them, I really appreciate their technique for design. And so I have learned a lot from them. In fact, the piece that I made for Sacred Threads for the 2007 show called Follow Me is based on Katie's technique for using light, using value and ghost layers. I bought her book, and it's right out of her book. It's sort of following a technique for how to do that. So they, both of them have greatly influenced me. And Miriam Stance also was inspired by Robbie Jo Eklow and how she does overlapping images. So both of those quilts, which are, you know, relatively early in my quilt making, but those are a direct reflection of the way those artists work. So I love to study artists and see how they work and try some of their techniques and then kind of find my own voice in how they've done things.
How do you feel your work has changed over the years?
I think, you know, a lot of the work that I'm doing now, especially with Photoshop and some of the things that I'm doing, are more uniquely mine. I also created a technique, I call it the lazy landscape. Lazy not being that it's not work, but lazy in that it's more improvisational. And I teach that, and that's more uniquely mine. So I'm really finding my own voice, and I'm finding things that, you know, people will see that and they'll say, "Oh, you took a class from Lisa Ellis." You know, I'm starting to get to that point now where I have kind of recognizable work, and so that's, you know, that's a change, and just in the last couple of years, where I've, you know, sort of developing my own style. I forgot the question.
It's okay. Tell me about your teaching.
Oh, yeah, teaching is something that I love to do. I'm finding it a little bit challenging with my schedule. I still have kids at home, so teaching is harder to do. And like the occasional lecture is a little bit easier for me to schedule. I love teaching, and I have taught several different classes. I'm hoping that eventually, when I'm an empty nester, teaching is something that I can really get back to. I had a quilt shop that talked to me about teaching, and I taught for a year, and I loved it. But I'm just finding that I really can't commit right now because I just need to be available to my kids at this stage. They're all teenagers now, and I need to be home in the afternoons and be available. So teaching is something that I love and I'm passionate about, and I look forward to the day where, you know, I can make the commitment to, you know, teach on a regular basis and maybe even start traveling and do some teaching. What I teach, I have a couple of different things, some technique-oriented things, and then also I do a praise quilt workshop. And I've done this class a few times where I have women that want to learn more about making quilts that are an expression of faith. So we do sort of the anatomy of what makes a praise quilt. And then I do teach techniques, but it's also an opportunity for women to explore, you know, how they would like to incorporate what they do into making pieces for their place of worship. So that's another thing that I look forward to the day where I can really pursue that and do a lot more teaching.
You mentioned artist statements, and I know that artist statements are very important to sacred threads. How do you feel about artist statements?
You know, I do think artist statements are important. They're very important to sacred threads. They're also very important in the healing quilt projects that we do, because the artist statement going along with the piece of work is something that the patient or their families are reading, and it, you know, brings education and better understanding. I think there are times when artist statements are maybe not necessary. You know, in Stockholm right now, there was an article recently talking about this very issue of, you know, shouldn't art stand on its own? You know, when you go to the Smithsonian, the National Art Gallery, you don't see an artist statement. The piece stands on its own, and it's up to the viewer to really interpret. And there's even a question of, does this artist statement detract? Because now you're giving the viewer your ideas or ideas, and it maybe robs the viewer of seeing the piece and interpreting the piece for themselves. I can see both sides of that. I think for what I do, for praise quilts, for healing quilts, and like for sacred threads, I think artist statements are incredibly important. But I think there are venues where that's not necessarily the case, and it actually can be more powerful to allow the reader or the viewer to interpret the piece for themselves.
Is there anything that you would like to share that we haven't touched upon before we conclude?
No, I think we've covered, I feel really honored that I've had an opportunity to talk about sacred threads and also healing quilts, because I really believe in those, and I think they're just, you know, powerful opportunities for quilt makers to share their passions and to make a difference.
Well, let me ask you one more question before we conclude. What makes a quilt artistically powerful for you?
That's a great question. I think when it moves me, when it changes me, it gives me a new idea, it touches me in some way, it heals me, it helps me identify with somebody, it, you know, provides an empathetic moment. You know, I think it's when it touches me somehow. Sometimes that can be just to, you know, for a laugh. This fiber artist at Loose Ends just did an exhibit at Mid-Atlantic called The Punchline. And there was only one goal, and it was to make people laugh. And I videotaped a group of people. I was at the exhibit, and I was watching people look at our exhibit, and I managed to catch on videotape people belly laughing. And, I mean, that was so rewarding. That's all we wanted. It wasn't meant to be serious. You know, I mean, healing quilts tend to be pretty serious. It was awesome to see people just laughing. And so that was great to, you know, to have accomplished that. So, I mean, even that's touching. You know, today in our environment and our economy, what better thing to provide a piece of work that makes somebody laugh? So really just touching in any way is, I think, what it's about.
I think this is a great way to conclude our time together. Lisa, I want to thank you again for taking time out of your day to do this interview with me.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, you're more than welcome. So we are going to conclude our interview at 10:08.
Okay.